Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here are your hosts, Joe Kuzma and Pittsburgh Steelers cornerback, Trey Johnson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast presented by the 2019 Legends of a Pittsburgh Cruise. If you hear my voice, I'm smiling because the cruise will bring smiles to everyone of all ages. In fact, if you're looking to get away and get away with some former and current Pittsburgh Steelers, you need to check out steelcityunderground.com/legendscruise. The cruise heads out in March 2019 for the Bahamas. Call or click today and guarantee your spot. And don't forget to use the promo code SCU19 when booking. My name's Joe Kuzma, and it's that time of the week where we look ahead to the Steelers' upcoming game with our edition of Trey's Corner. And who better to be here for Trey's Corner other than Pittsburgh Steelers cornerback Trey Johnson? And Trey, we had to reboot the show here for a second because I went to make a joke in the middle of the Legends of Pittsburgh cruise thing, saying it was all for all ages. I was just talking about your age here, and I'm like, hey, you know, do you remember this or that? But how you doing, young man?
I'm good, man. How you doing? It's a beautiful day down here.
Oh, you know what? It's actually not too bad where I'm hanging and banging, but I'm looking ahead at the weather forecast for the weekend, and they're talking about rain, which is better than snow always, but I hate getting wet. I'd rather have snow. Cold, you could deal with cold.
Oh, no.
You could put layers on, but you get wet and cold, that's no bueno, man. I don't like it.
Yeah, I can kind of agree, but I just don't like the snow, man. I'd rather be wet and cold than be in the snow.
Are you wearing turtlenecks in your 60 and 70 degree weather down there in Tampa?
Nah, man, we're wearing sleeveless shirts down here.
Oh, okay. I'm just checking, you know, because I know they make fun of the snowbirds, us northerners that come down and we want to jump in the ocean, even though it's like 65 degrees. We're like, hey, it's warm, you know. Actually, it's not too warm if you go to do that, but you know, it's warmer than where we come from now, and it's like your body gets adjusted to temperature now, and you're like, oh, 40 degrees is like shorts weather now. So but like in October, late September, if it drops into like the 30s and 40s, you're freezing, and then all of a sudden you get adjusted. So I guess that's how the Canadians to the north get used to everything. I don't know if it would even be worth owning a swimming pool in Canada, but that's just way off topic. But something on topic and something I've been discussing and asking everyone all week is, do you like toast, Trey? What do you think about toast?
Do I like toast? Toast is good.
All right.
Put some jelly on it. I don't want just plain toast. You got to give me something on it.
Oh, no. You can't. You got to. I'll put butter. Somebody said apple butter. We had one of our fans responding to the fan mail email, and he said apple butter, and it's made me hungry for it all week. I got to go out and get some. So,
yeah, that sounds good. Apple butter sounds real good.
But if you hadn't heard, and I missed you last week, so it's good we're chatting again, but you were saddled with Brian last week, and Brian always calls himself the host who doesn't like toast. He won't even toast a sub. He doesn't do toast. He doesn't toast subs. No, he doesn't toast bread. No, he does not do that, and it's just...
Yeah, so you need... Yeah. You need to do that.
The numbers are piling up against him. It's like everyone's on the toast side of things, which is very interesting. But I think we have some important business to discuss. There's an upcoming game, and there's also some we'll go to one of our listener questions first, and this is from Joshua, or I'll call him Josh for short. I hope he doesn't dislike that, because I don't like being called Joey. It's Joe's cool with me. Joseph is what my mom calls me when she was yelling at me, and my middle name too, which we won't divulge those details here. But the question was, when a defensive back is guarding a wide receiver, do you react to the receiver running a route, or do you normally, like, do you kind of guess what route they're going to run to get a jump on the ball? And Josh is saying, I've heard DBs say usually the latter. What's your strategy, or what's your take on this?
That's a question where it kind of depends on, like, what zone you're in, or even if you're in man-to-man coverage. You know, if you're in man, you don't want to really try and predict too much. You want to have, you know, in the back of your mind, okay, maybe he's running this route, you know, based off of the formation and like film study. But, you know, you don't really want to jump anything because, you know, you're in man, you just want to be on your man. But, you know, when you're in zone, you want to be, kind of thinking a lot more, you know, kind of being like, okay, this guy has the chance to come into my zone, you know, based off the formation and different things like that. So it kind of depends on like the way that you're feeling. And then, you know, sometimes you see people, you know, they get those pick sixes where it looks like they kind of just read the play perfectly. It's kind of, you know, usually they're in the zone and they just, you know, you take a chance. And sometimes when you take a chance, you know, you can outsmart the quarterback and come up with that pick six. So, you know, it really just kind of depends on like as the game goes and, you know, what play it is, what down, you know, a lot of different things go into it. But it's definitely something where I feel like most of the time you don't really want to guess too much. You want to look at keep your eyes where you are when you're in man.
I got a question for you, actually, a personal one that I thought about watching the previous games. Of course, the Steelers on a 3-game losing streak, which we don't like to see or hear. Close games, different determining factors, a lot of things in play as to why those were in the loss column. But one thing that's kind of become, we talked about scapegoats the other day, myself and Zach Meckler on the show. And one of the things that comes up is the lack of splash plays by the defense. But I'm not sure that people, you know, we talk about getting a jump on the football, but that's not necessarily your primary function is to stop the play. Obviously, as a DB, you want to knock the pass down or make sure it's incomplete. If you have an opportunity to catch the ball, you're not like a wide receiver where your primary function is to catch the ball. So how difficult is it to come up with a pick when you're twisting, turning, trying to make a play on the receiver? Sometimes your momentum or your body is kind of contorted in a way where it doesn't necessarily make it the easiest thing on earth to come down with the football.
Yeah, that's definitely something that's kind of true. But, you know, you just kind of want to – in those pick sixes and, you know, different plays like that, a lot of times it's kind of predetermined, you know, and you're, like, through the play, like, or come out in formation, you know, from film study, you can see, you know, if they come out in a certain formation – like, they have the tendency to run these two routes, you know, based off the route combinations, like, what receivers are over there, you know. So, if you're – let's say you're in cover two man, but you see that, you know, they're about to run it out, and, like, number two in the slot is going to run it out. Like, you can really jump that because you know that's something that happens a lot, you know, the quarterback, especially if it's, like, 33 or something short, you know, he wants to get that little 3-yard out and then keep the drive going. But you want to just jump that play, and then, you know, you're taking it back to the house because there's nobody even over there. You know, that's just, like, one of the simplest ones. But, you know, it's just when it comes to trying to catch a pick, yeah, you get in difficult positions. But, you know, you just kind of want to make sure that if you get your hands on the ball, you need to come down with it. You know, it's really just kind of that simple. You know, yeah, deflections are cool, but you want to completely stop the drive. So it's just, like, it's difficult, but, you know, you still got to do it. You got to find a way to make it happen.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that, too. And, of course, a lot of them come from, as you said, almost like telegraphing, I guess would be the word, telegraphing the play, seeing the quarterback's eyes. If it's obvious, something like that, you're more naturally there. We see some plays and some players get criticism, and you have, like, a ball that's tipped. And there might be running to the right and the ball goes to the left and you try and come down with it, or you're diving. And, you know, not to say that, you know, it is professional football players here and a lot of guys come down with the ball. But I'm thinking, like, sometimes the opportunities aren't there or it just isn't as easy.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people play video games and or in the Steelers case and, you know, Steelers Nation, our fans here, you're used to a guy named Troy Polamalu that made some incredible fingertip catches and splash plays over the course of his career. So, you know, not everybody is – there may never be another Troy Polamalu.
Yeah, there's always those people that, you know, when they're just out on the field, they're just kind of naturals at it, you know. So you can't – those are, like, the exceptions, you know. For us normal NFL players, you know, we just got to go out there and try to make the play every single time. And just kind of – people don't realize that, you know, the ball is obviously not circle, you know. It's like a weird shape. So when it bounces off of things, you don't know where it's going until it starts going there, you know. So sometimes it's a little bit more difficult to see it. But, you know, you can try and judge it off the bounce sometimes and, you know, make the play. But
I'm glad you said that with the football, because it is the strangest thing to me.
It's just like a weird shape.
Yeah. I mean, what other sport? Every sport has a round ball, and you could kind of judge, you know, basketball, you literally give somebody a bounce pass, or soccer, you know, it travels in a straight line. If you kick it in a straight line, you know, you hit the ball a certain way, or you could get it to curve a certain way. Football, if it lands, it could go like any number of directions. And that's why we say any given Sunday, as some of it's luck, someone's the way the ball bounces, literally.
Yeah.
Speaking of, you were talking about normal NFL players. I'm not sure that Sunday's game is a normal NFL game. Steelers sit at 7-5-1. They're staring down the barrel of three big games coming up, a divisional game at the tail end with the Bengals, but two teams that are certainly playoff bound and division leaders. The first of those two is the New England Patriots, and then followed up by the New Orleans Saints. And we were talking, I think, before about how do you feel about games being must win? Because in the NFL, I feel like almost every game could be considered must win. It's only a 16-game schedule. But, you know, a lot of people are looking at this game. They look at history. Jesse caught it. I'm still a little upset over that one from last year. But you know what? With the Patriots, they're sitting at 9-4. And I don't know. How do you feel about, just quickly, I think the Steelers playing at home, despite the way the last three games have gone, I think there's some execution things that the team that makes the least amount of mistakes, and this is true almost in every single game that's played at any time at any level of football, is going to be the team that comes out at the end, the team that makes the least amount of mistakes.
Yeah, that's definitely true. You know, you kind of have to take that, like you said, is you take that mentality into every game. You know, you can't, the lack of mistakes, you know, provides a victory. So, you know, you want to make sure you try and don't go out there and mess up. But, of course, you know, this is definitely a big game, you know. You got to go out there and think of every game. Every next game, you know, is a really big game. And, you know, you have, obviously, the New England Patriots, who is a great team. You know, you still got Tom Brady, who's, you know, goes down as one of the greatest quarterbacks in the NFL. Just because, you know, obviously so many rings and the way that he plays. But they also have, you know, threats around all over the field, you know, with Julian Edelman and Gronk. You know, their offense is very high potent, but, you know, when you come up with a game plan, you just want to make sure that you stick to the game plan. And, you know, I feel like that's what we're going to go out there and do. And just make sure you want to, you know, make plays and just stay mistake-free. You know, nobody try and do everything. Everybody work together and, you know, it'll come out victorious.
Yeah, well, starting with those receivers, I mean, we all know who Tom Brady is and what he's accomplished. And even at, I don't know, 5,000 years old or however old he is, still playing at a very high level. The wheels have not fallen off yet. And I don't think anyone in Pittsburgh would take or would take the Patriots or Tom Brady for granted. Definitely. They're not going to overlook this. There's not all this talk about, you know, playing beyond this or that. I think for the guys that were here last year and the way that game ended, the way it went down, I think there's a little bit of they want some payback, and there's also some redemption for the way things have gone over the last few weeks. They get a game at home, and you know, the first thing I look at, and one of the things, you know, we were talking about this just between ourselves with the secondary, it looks like there's some shakeups, there's some injuries right now. Sean Davis didn't practice with a knee. We're going to keep an eye on these injury reports and stuff like that. Looks like Cam Sutton's getting some nickelback work. I think the Steelers are going to have to use the full complement of their secondary, but you never know with the Patriots. They're balanced. They have a number of different ways to attack you. For example, their leading receiver is a running back in James White, 76 catches this year, and he also has 6 touchdowns receiving, but he also has 4 on the ground, so you never know which way they're going to come at you. Part of that with James White, though, is Sony Michel, a rookie, a guy I really liked coming out of college, by the way. He had been hurt for portions of this season, too, so there's been a division of labor. Julian Edelman started the year on suspension. Gronk has been hurt. So some of those numbers, when you look at the stats on paper, don't quite reflect maybe what the Patriots are doing, but they have 4 different players with 600 or more yards receiving, and of those that are actual receivers are Julian Edelman, Josh Gordon, who was acquired in a trade with the Cleveland Browns, who the Steelers saw earlier in the season. So, and they were familiar with him in the past for those who've played against him or played with him in the case of Joe Hayden. And then, of course, there's Chris Hogan and Philip Dorsett. And then you got Cordarrelle Patterson, too, who also lines up in the backfield and gives them yet another dimension there. I don't even know where to begin, because you'd like to say, let's make the Patriots uncomfortable. We're always talking about putting pressure on the quarterback. Of course, if you do that with Tom Brady, as we've seen, even though the Atlanta Falcons didn't get it done in the Super Bowl, you've seen the Eagles, you see any of these teams, whenever they have success, it's by rattling Tom Brady. And the same thing happened with Peyton Manning in the past. But these quarterbacks are so good at making their reads and getting rid of the ball so fast that sometimes that's not even humanly possible. How do you feel is the best way to, I guess, attack this Patriots offense?
I feel like the best way is definitely we want to kind of go out there and find a way to bring pressure but still stay in zone. You know, obviously the difficulty with that is that, you know, you only have 11 players. So, you know, if you're sending one person, that means he can't drop back in the zone. So that's where the difficulties come. But, you know, when you keep it switched up, you know, have a game plan to, you know, to disguise, you know, make sure that everybody's on the same page. You know, if we're in cover three, you know, don't look like we're in cover three until we need to be in cover three, you know, not until the ball is snapped, you know. So make it look like you're in cover two, but really be in cover three. That way, you know, it's more confusing for the whole entire offense to kind of be on the same page. But, you know, going man-to-man is difficult with a team like that, especially because, you know, look at all those different receivers that you just named. You know, there's receivers that have over – I can't remember the fact you said, but the 600 yards, it's like six of them, I think. But that's just kind
of – Four of them. Actually, two aren't even receivers. It's James White and Gronk.
Yeah, you know, so with everybody, with all those different threats around, you know, it's really – it's difficult to go man because, you know, they'll get a break, you know, while – you know, the same corners are still really out there on the field trying to guard a whole new receiver. So you want to make sure that, you know, you're in zone and everybody's just on the same page and it just moves together as one, you know, and just try and disrupt Brady's timing, you know, by bringing pressure and making sure you're keeping those dogs down the line, you know, switched up and being able to keep bringing pressure.
Yeah, and let me tell you, too, just as we're moving along here, that the Steelers are actually an underdog at home by 1.5. And we talk about the line sometimes here, 52.5 over under. And when I'm looking at this, the reason I jumped straight on the offense with the Patriots is this game has the potential to be a shootout, all depending. And, I mean, you look at both sides of the ball, the Steelers defense having some difficulty in making some stops. But the Patriots are also right there in kind of the same category, depending on what you want to look at statistics-wise as well. They're not very good at stopping the pass, despite looking like they should have a secondary on paper that, you know, wouldn't be too bad with Patrick Chung, the McCourty brothers, Stephon Gilmore. They're 15th against the rush, where, you know, the Steelers, believe it or not, for even some of their shortcomings recently, 12th and 6th in those categories against pass and rush. But I think this game has potential, has shootout potential. I mean, it's Tom Brady. He has 23 touchdown passes this year. There's plenty of other guys. There's plenty of players that could score on either side of the ball. And we are talking about just, you know, kind of limiting mistakes and things of that nature. One thing that I noticed, and it happens, and it just so happens that we've talked about this, I think, before, the link between offense and defense. When, let's say, just in this example, the Steelers offense goes 3 and out, how much pressure does that put on the defense? Because, for example, against the Raiders, they only had the ball for like maybe about 4.5 minutes of the fourth quarter, 15-minute quarter, mind you. And I think that could be a contributing factor to giving up big drives and scoring drives.
Yeah, sometimes it can, but it's more so not towards like the mentality of it. It's just kind of like field position has a lot to play with that part of it, you know, because if they have the ball for that long, you know, that means that they're moving the ball down the field, you know. So if we just kind of go 3 and out, you know, sometimes you don't really flip the field. So, you know, now the offense is going out there, but they only have to put together like a 50-yard drive, you know. It's a lot easier to stop a 90-yard drive than it is to stop a 50-yard drive, you know. So you just kind of have to think about different things about that kind of also go into the game. So it's not really that it's demoralizing or anything like that. It's just kind of like every time you go out there on the field, you know, you want to try and create a 3 and out, you know. So, but it's not really like it's more pressure. It's just the fact that, you know, okay, we need to step up so that our offense can get another opportunity and get us off the field, because, you know, being out on the field for, you know, 15, 16 plays, that's not fun, you know. So you want to make sure you try and get off the field as quick as you can. And that comes with converting on like third downs and third and shorts, you know, being able to come up and make a play and then get yourselves off the field.
Yeah, and of course, substitutions too, and you know, changing up with packages, having guys running on and off the field. And of course, when you get into like you're up against maybe a hurry up, you know, it's a catch 22 here. It's really tough to kind of decipher what will play out in this game, because if you run a hurry up, obviously you're not chewing a clock. And I know a lot of people would like to just keep the ball on the ground, run the football, eat up clock, maintain possession. And when those things don't necessarily happen, what I more or less meant by that is you could be setting your defense up and putting them in a bad position. Of course, and when you have turnovers, that's going to happen too, depending on field position, just like you said. In fact, I still dislike the kickoff rules that were changed a couple of years ago, where it moves up from the 20 to the 25, just the percentage of play or of drives that end up scoring with those extra 5 yards is quite a significant defense, even in the NFL. But you know what? I'm struggling here because I look at the Patriots offense. I look at what's gone on with the Steelers defense. And I guess like the best thing you can hope for is to try and just, I don't think you're going to completely stop them. Like I said, shootout here. Both teams could easily score 30 points. And in fact, the Patriots have given up 30 points several times this season. I had it up here a second ago. I think it was 5 times. And some of the teams that they've given 30 points up to is quite surprising. It was 31 against the Jaguars in a loss. They ended up beating the Chiefs with a last second field goal. 43-40, gave up 40 to the Chiefs, which isn't much of a surprise given the way the Chiefs have played this year. The Titans, another shocker with 34 points. And then the Dolphins last week, of course, with the, you know, as time expired. What do you think about that play, man? I mean, that was just wild. I mean, those plays never worked. They're like one in a million.
That's crazy. That's just like seeing a blue moon or something like that, man. But, you know, it's incredible. He was out there and he made a play. So it's just funny. So. That's a great play.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what else you could say about that. And then, you know what other people do say about that? They say, oh, great. Well, the Patriots never lose 2 in a row. Well, I have word for everyone here. They did lose 2 in a row earlier this year, and that was back-to-back with the Jaguars and the Lions. Those games were also both on the road, and that's one thing that there's a common link here is the Patriots are coming back from a road game at Miami. Now they come to Heinz Field. That might play into the Steelers' advantage, hopefully. Yeah. Enough about maybe the – well, I got one more thing that I wanted to point out too, and you don't necessarily have to comment on this, but just one thing to maybe watch for our listeners when you're watching things on the field. One of the past things I've noticed when the Steelers and Patriots have gone head-to-head, and you're dealing with basically a chess match with – what Bill Belichick and company are doing with the offense. Are they going to try and run the ball? Are they going to try and pass? How they disguise that? And in the past, the Steelers have had – it's not that you have bad linebackers, but you have athletes that are maybe specialized or best suited maybe against the run or maybe against the pass. And that's kind of the trend that we're seeing right now is LJ Fort has been out on the field quite a bit now over the last couple of games. A lot of passing down situations versus John Bostic, who – you know, isn't necessarily a liability in the passing game, but they would probably prefer to have Fort out there. So you're going to want to keep an eye on those two guys and how they flip-flop on the field, because this is what happened before. Last year, of course, the Steelers were without Ryan Shazier. They had a great weakness there, too, because Tyler Matakevich, his backup, was also injured, and they brought Sean Spence in from free agency to fill in that spot. The previous year was Lawrence Timmons, and it was a constant just battle of every time Timmons came on the field, they would switch to a pass, and it's almost like sometimes you feel like you can't stop them. And that's got to be what the Steelers offense has to do here in this game as well. They have to be unstoppable. I mentioned the amount of points, the amount of yards that the Patriots defense is capable of giving up. And I feel that part of the losses for the Patriots, looking up and down the schedule, having watched a few of these games myself, one thing that's in common there is they've been giving up rushing yards. We still aren't certain of the status of a one James Conner, but I do believe in this game, Trey, the Steelers offensive line is going to have to kick it into a whole other level. Protect Big Ben, who's a little banged up with his ribs, and try to establish the run, because if the Steelers – I don't necessarily believe in balanced football, but I do believe that you at least have to have a little bit of everything, kind of a potpourri, is if you don't run the football at all, it makes you very one-dimensional. So I feel the running game and the offensive line is a key to this game.
Yeah, that's definitely true. You definitely have to come out there and establish a run, especially against the Patriots, you know, because, like you said, they're not doing too well against the run. So that's definitely something you want to come out and try and establish early. And then that of course, opens up, you know, the big plays down the field to all the different threats that we have on the offense. So I kind of agree with what you're saying about, you know, the game going to be a shootout. But our job on defense is really, it's never really to stop the offense. It's just to kind of go out there and contain them and just slow them down enough so that, our offense, which is a really good offense, can go out there and just keep making plays like they really have been doing. So just kind of, it's going to be a very good game, but we could definitely, it's definitely not like it's impossible to win. We could definitely go out there and win this game, if we go out there and just be mistake free and play good football.
I love to see mistake-free and good football. That in the same sentence would make for a lot of happy campers, maybe the Steelers on the positive side of the scoreboard this time around. One of the things you said was contain, and we've seen the Steelers defense bend but don't break a lot of times too. We're talking about kickers here and special teams, and the Patriots and a lot of other teams aren't immune to, let's say, missed extra points or missed field goals. We've seen it with Chris Boswell a few times this year. We're all well aware now that he's fighting for his job. Hopefully not too much of a pressure cooker should he keep it and he's playing Sunday, which I almost suspect that would be the case based on who they brought in, but that's all the more I'll say about that for now. But on the other side of the ball too, Steven Gostkowski misses a field goal on two extra points that turned out to be pretty costly in the loss to the Dolphins. I mean, there's 5 points right there that the Patriots left on the scoreboard. And when you're leaving points on the scoreboard, it's never a good thing, especially when it was a 1 point loss to the Dolphins. So the Steelers definitely can't leave points on the scoreboard. Again, we're talking mistakes. We're talking penalties and things that kind of shoot yourself in the foot. The Steelers are dealing with a number of injuries here. Still no update on Marcus Gilbert at right tackle, so Matt Filer might still be in there. We talked about James Conner. Big Ben has been sitting a little bit with his rib. I imagine he'll be limited in practice going forward. And then there's a few others that limited in practice on Wednesday, at least. Anthony Ciccolo, Sean Davis did not practice with a knee injury, and a coach's decision for Marquise Pouncey. A little bit of the veteran privilege there, which isn't too unexpected. So we talked about running the football. We talked about limiting mistakes. Special teams may come into play here. And very much so when you got two teams that are, I think the Patriots are sixth in points. Yes, they are, points scored, and 12th in allowed. Steelers are fourth and 16th. It has all the makings for everybody to keep going back and forth. It reminds me of a game a few years ago with the Dallas Cowboys that had like 7 or 8 lead changes. That could very well be the way this shapes up this upcoming Sunday. Weather we talked about, if it rains and it's like, in the 40s, definitely that could become part of the smash mouth football and definitely play into game planning and the way the script of the game goes as well. Anything else that sticks out to you as far as the Steelers and Patriots matchup is concerned?
No, you kind of hit everything on the head. It's definitely going to be a shootout. It's hard to really stop both offenses, so just from the defensive mindset, just kind of go out there, bend but don't break. You're going to give up a few yards on some plays, just kind of make sure that you don't give them all up, So it's going to be a great game, and I kind of look forward to watching it. I wish I could play in it, but, it's definitely even going to be entertaining to watch. So
yeah,
definitely something you want to tune in and look at.
Yeah, and you know what? I heard you with Brian last week for the last Trey's Corner, and I was thinking to myself, I was like, oh, that's right. You know what? I don't know if I mentioned it or not, or we were talking about you getting back on the field, but of course it is next year. Whenever a player goes on injured reserve anytime through camp and that, you saw this with Ola Adene. He made the active 53-man roster. You have to make the active 53 first in order to be considered or to be eligible for designation to return from injured reserve. So sorry if I misled anybody there, including yourself, Trey. Get you all excited.
No, it's all good.
We know how you're coming along, so we know it's not a 2018 thing. We're going to have the baby come for 2019 now, the new year, and then you're going to be looking forward to that. There was something else you just said, and it just slipped. Oh, we were talking about the officiating too, and John Perry's the referee for this Sunday's game. Yet another referee that I have like no basis or anything bias against. Usually when I see some of the names, I'm like, all right, everyone, hold on to your hats. John Perry isn't anyone that I've seen in any recent time. I didn't look up his statistics to see what games he's had or how many penalties he's thrown or anything like that. But the referees, Trey, you were saying you go up and talk to them, try and get on their good side. They're trying to do the same thing with you, man. It's all just gamesmanship.
Yeah. That's definitely what it is. You know, it's just you got to be cordial with each other. You know, that's really just the gist of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it goes a long way. There's a saying I have. It says, pet the dog when he's good, too, because if all you do is scold it, you're going to get bit. So, well,
that's a good little saying.
Yeah, you know, and believe it or not, picked that up from another referee, you know, one of these world-class international soccer referees that I've worked with. And she was also a professor at Duke University. So, I mean, that's definitely a smart and wise person I picked up some advice from. And I know I've asked you this before. You're always talking about it. I've asked you what one of the best pieces of advice is that you got. I think it applies best for this game, for all of our listeners to hear. This you got to start with a clean slate here. Put all your emotions out. Just keep it for the people that are in the stadium. Direct it towards the Patriots. Don't direct it towards our own guys. Got to try and keep it positive. You say, what is it? The spaceship doesn't have a rear view mirror.
Yeah, there's no rear view in the spaceship, man. You just got to take off and don't look back.
That is absolutely good stuff. It's one that I'm putting in my toolbox, so I carry with me as a good piece of advice. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Pittsburgh Steelers cornerback Trey Johnson. And Trey, thanks for, once again, taking time out of your schedule. And, you know, the holidays are right around the corner, so I hope you get all of your shopping and everything in so you could join us for the final two regular season games after this Sunday.
Yeah, man. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. All the good things to come, you know. Looking forward to the holidays. I'm looking forward to the rest of the season.
As am I. It's not over till it's over, folks. I would say maybe even when the fat lady sings, you know, as they tend to say. I don't say that because I don't go around looking for a fat lady singing. But until next time, my name is Joe. His name's Trey. As always, thank you for subscribing. And if you haven't already, please do. And also leave us a rating and review wherever it is you may be tuning in from. I always encourage our listeners to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.